manager for the BLM as a wildland firefighter, and he was just a tough, strong dude, another guy that I had really looked up to. And here he was on the phone telling me that he, one of the engine crews that out of the division that he worked in, needed some help in the upcoming season, and that if I could pass the physical fitness test, he could get me on the crew. I was absolutely terrified, just mortified at the thought of doing this. You know, at this time, I had never been away from home for more than a week or so. I had had some manual jobs, you know, digging ditches, the stuff that every kid had done in their lives, but I had never gone through what I knew that these firemen had to do. Could I do it? Did I have enough mental and physical ability to handle the stresses and pressures of this kind of job? So, you know, trying to find some direction, I took a chance and I told my cousin Fritz that I would give it a shot. I would try to do my best to get in shape and see if I could get onto this crew. So I trained hard for a few months, and by the grace of God, I was able to pass the test and get onto this crew. Little did I know at this time that this job would have such a huge effect on my life, not only as a man trying to make it in the world, but more importantly as a Christian. So tonight I'd like to present a few ways that this job and the training that we had to go through helped me as a Christian, and in turn, I hope, can help all of you as well. The first of these is be fit. And I know, a guy shaped like Grimace up here trying to tell you to be physically fit, it doesn't really ring true, but there was a time in my life where I was in decent shape, and it was because of this job. Being a wildland firefighter is all about one word, and that is endurance. So all of the physical training we did was based around being able to do hard labor for extended periods of time. Every morning when we showed up to work, we either lifted, we would run long distances, we would hike. The worst is we would do lollipops up and down mountains out in the desert, just, you know, trying to do everything we could to get into shape. It was just brutal, tough training, but never in my life have I been in better shape. Definitely, you know, playing football, volleyball, none of that compared to this. And, you know, this training undoubtedly helped us as we were, you know, cutting line and pulling hose lines up a mountain, all this kind of just really hard physical labor. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 tells us, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Choosing to live life as a Christian can be very difficult. It is fraught with ups and downs, victories and losses, peaks and valleys, and it's our job to be ready for those times. How do we do this? How do we prepare for this challenge? We read our Bibles. We completely envelop ourselves in God's Word so that every obstacle we create or that Satan throws in our way is easily overcome with help from the knowledge of God's Word. I seemingly always forget that this book is a direct gift from God. It's by his own hand. How better to help our relationship with God than by reading his word? This increases our endurance and helps us get spiritually fit as we run this Christian race. Number two is be prepared, just like the Boy Scouts. Whenever we were finished working a fire, we knew that our job was definitely not done. On our way back to the cache, we would stop and fill up the water and fuel tanks on the engine. And then once we got back to the cache, we would pull all the hose off of it, inspect it, drain it, recoil it, replace it, you know, basically get it ready to go for the next fire. We'd also have to sharpen all our tools. We'd have to paint all our tools. We would have to look over our gear, make sure that it was in complete condition, and basically just be ready to go at the next call. And this all had to be done no matter what time of day or night, no matter how tired or worn out we were, this had to get done in preparation for the next fire. We all know the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise because they prepared for the coming of the bridegroom in the middle of the night. These 5 were prepared for an extremely important job for them at this time. Are we prepared? Are we prepared not only for the coming of Christ, but for any job that Jesus has for us? Are we too busy for this in our lives? Are we too tired or beat down? These are the times when we are most vulnerable to Satan's arrows. So by us reading our Bibles and leaning more on the Lord, we will be prepared for these times. Number three, communication is key. Every fireman is outfitted with a long-range two-way radio, as well as having to carry a load of extra batteries in their pack for this radio. This is carried in a holder located directly in the middle of the chest for quick and easy use, and also it puts it closer to your ear so you can hear it better, especially with all your helmet and all the shroud, everything that you're wearing. Each engine and helicopter that's working a fire also obviously has a radio, and all of these are communicating with each other. Every crew talks to another crew, every engine talks to another engine, and so forth. Now, obviously, this is vital for the operations, as there are crews spread out all over a fire. So, you know, say a fire is 10,000 acres, these crews have to be in communication with each other. It is crucial to everyone's safety that these teams know what each other is doing so that they can work together or alert each other of any dangers. One of the greatest blessings that we have as a Christian is the gift of prayer. If we think about it, our very Creator has blessed us with the ability to communicate directly with Him. Yet, why do I continue to overlook this gift? Why do I continue to try and do things on my own? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 tells us to pray without ceasing. And Colossians 4, verse 2 tells us to devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. When we are in constant communication with God, we can't help but be focused on Him. And being focused on God is how we remain safe as we work together as Christians. Number four is know the weather. Believe it or not, a huge part of a wildland firefighter's training is reading and understanding the weather. There is no greater influence on the movement or the life of a wildfire, than the weather. Every engine and at least one member of each HeliTAC crew was given a weather kit so that they could constantly be checking the temperature, the dew point, the wind direction, and the speed. And this is because, obviously, if it gets more humid, the fire will slow down. If it gets less humid, it'll speed up. The wind direction could change the way the fire spreads. And these were all vital to how you fought the fire and how you tried to remain safe. We were also taught how to read clouds and look for warning signs of microbursts and thunderstorms and lightning, which are absolute killers to firemen. You know, you're out in the middle of the open, there's nothing around to shelter you. A light breeze blowing from the north that changes to a light breeze blowing from the east, you know, this could be a huge harbinger of a change that's coming, and you had to know what was going on. So this is why it was so important that we knew about this. Now, I thought this was kind of goofy that we had to know about the weather, but, you know, as I got onto the field, this was absolutely crucial. Now, obviously, the line graph analogy of our lives I used earlier is a gross oversimplification of things, how things really are. Our lives are dynamic, and the only constant that we have in them is change. Sometimes our lives are a cool day at the beach, but sometimes there are a turbulent thunderstorm that's tearing the roof off our house. I can't help but think of the story of Jesus and the disciples in the storm. The water was breaking all around the boat. The disciples' faith was shaken. They were terrified that they weren't going to live. Yet Jesus was fast asleep in the bottom of that boat, knowing that his faith and his Father would keep him safe. Jesus even asked where their faith was as he rebuked the storm and calmed the waters. It's easy to know when our lives are in danger, but it's absolutely key that we recognize the small changes in our lives before they get there. Relying on our faith in God is how we avoid these problems, as He will always quell the storms in our lives if we fully trust in Him. Number five is you can't outrun fire. One of the lessons that the crew boss has always tried to get across to us newbies is to try to never outrun a fire. And this was always one that I kind of questioned, because obviously I was not blessed with the gift of speed, but I thought, hey, you know, I could at least get to a clearing or something like that, you know, to get out of danger. But one time we were on a fire out in the middle of nowhere out by Wickenburg, and we were given the task of lighting a backfire on a hill to make a fire break for the fire that was burning down below in the valley. So I grabbed a drip torch and started walking down the road, and after a few feet, I felt this tremendous heat behind me. I mean, it was the hottest thing I've ever felt in my life. So I stopped, I turned around, and the whole entire hillside was on fire. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. So just in a few seconds, that hill was instantly engulfed in flames. The fire was that fast, it was that unbelievably hot, and I know that if somebody was on that hillside, there's no way they would have outrun that fire. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 tells us to be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, even though I learned my lesson that day about outrunning a fire, I still continue to fail in learning my lesson about outrunning Satan. Like Peter says in this passage, he is out to devour us, yet I still continue to think that I can merely run away. When we let him get too close, he will get us. And it's our job to recognize the heat and get away from it as quickly as possible instead of letting it draw us in. We have to be diligent to keep away from him, to stay as far away as we can, so that we never find ourselves trying to outrun a lion. Number 6, know your safety zones. One of the most important points of our training was learning how to recognize safety zones in a fire. These usually were roads, river or creek beds, rocky outcroppings, or places that the fire had already burned through. Any place, basically, that had no fuel to continue the fire. Normally, as we approached a fire in the engine, we'd pull out a map of the area and kind of look around to see what could possibly be a safety zone, and we would also set up a rendezvous point in a safety zone in case the crew got separated for whatever reason. So how do we stay safe in our Christian lives when things around us get bad? What is our safety zone? Peter again tells us in 1 Peter 1, verse 13, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming." Our safety zone is the grace of Jesus Christ and the hope of heaven, the one place that is truly safe and completely free of sin. When things get crazy in our lives and we seem to be moving away from God and away from each other, we can feel safe knowing that despite our actions, Jesus' grace will still be given to us. It will never go away. And then finally, deploy your fire shelter. On the last day of training, we were taken over to another hill out in North Phoenix with a creek, a dry creek bed running in front of it. And after hiking up and down that hill for a while to get us nice and tired, they each gave us a small rectangular box. And on the end of the box was a loop, and we were instructed to pull this loop. After doing this, a folded up what looked like a big piece of foil fell out, and here was our fire shelter. This is our emergency when there are no more options. This was the absolute last defense of our lives when things went bad. The fire shelter, if you saw one, it's basically like a high heat space blanket, and it kind of looks like a 6 or 7 foot long sunshade for your car with flaps on either side and loops on all four corners. To begin the training, we were taught to look for a place to deploy the shelter that was as free from fuel as we could find. We were also taught to take our tools and get that area as clean as we could. And then while throwing our packs away, we would pull the shelters out, hook our boots, the heels of our boots into the inside loops, grab the other two loops, pull it over our head. And as we fell to the ground, we were supposed to get as much oxygen into the shelter as we could to protect us as the fire burned over you. The goal of this was to get your body and everything completely in the shelter within 45 seconds or so. I mean, as quickly as absolutely possible. But what was really interesting during this training was how the mood completely changed. You know, during the training, it was serious to be sure, but, you know, there were a few laughs and, you know, a few just jokes and stuff like that. But not today, not during the shelter training. They understood that this training could be the difference between giving us a chance to make it out of a fire or not. The world is a scary place. Our problems can build and build and build, and we may think that we have no endurance to withstand them. Our faith and our communication with the Lord can waver, disrupting our relationship with Him. Satan can continue to pursue us and try to devour us, and we may think that we may have no safe areas to go for protection from him. But brothers and sisters, we do. We have each other, working together as a crew in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus. And we have the Lord, all working for us against the fires of sin. If you feel like you have no protection, take heed and put on the armor of the Lord, as we read about in Ephesians chapter 6. It is guaranteed to save you 100% of the time. Or take heart to Jesus' words in John chapter 16, verse 33, where he says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." It is time for us to overcome our fears and our issues and fully commit to the Lord. If it is your time to do this, to commit to God and get baptized into him, or if you need anything from the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing.